We have no idea what it was like for the people of Israel to live in a wilderness for 40 years. A wilderness that on mountain peaks could be freezing by night and be scorching hot by day. Where among these volcanic rocks, and we do not believe that the rock is any different today than it was then. And so we know from travelers and all kinds of present reports of what exactly it's like to be on that Mount Sinai, which is called Mount Moses, by the way, by many to this day. Its height, somewhere around 7,000 feet, is about 3/4 the height of Mount Baker.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring to you the message of the gospel, and we're going to that greatest of chapters, John chapter 3. That verse 14 in particular, where we read that as the Son of Man, as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And of course it is the preacher's task to lift up the Lord Jesus, and it is our heart's desire that you will hear the message of salvation today. So stay tuned with us. We have a hymn. It was down at the feet of Jesus.
Bible reading today is in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And the reason why we're going here is that in John chapter 3, reference is made to Moses, who was called upon to lift up the serpent in the wilderness. And here in Numbers 21, we have that account. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Numbers chapter 21. Let's hear the Lord's word. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will surely destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. May the Lord bless this brief reading of his word. Now we're coming back to John chapter 3. This is our preaching passage over these weeks. And we're coming today to the text in verse 14. Verse 14 in John chapter 3. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Did you ever hear a story that made absolutely no sense to you? Look at it in any which way, it just made no sense. And very often it's because we don't get the context. If you walk into the middle of a conversation and you don't hear the beginning, and sometimes we can get the whole thing totally wrong. And as we look here at John 3:14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," it is so important for us to go back to that history and to revise and review what exactly happened when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Because the message hinges on that history. Because as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so. So you can see that the message is built upon that history right back in the time of Moses with the children of Israel in that wilderness, and the serpents bit them. They were inflamed with fever. They were dying. And Moses made, or God told Moses to make a pole, and the people were to look upon that brass serpent on the pole, and they lived. Now that's my little quick summary of that history. But we have no idea what it was like for the people of Israel to live in a wilderness for 40 years. A wilderness that on mountain peaks could be freezing by night and be scorching hot by day. Where among these volcanic rocks, and we do not believe that the rock is any different today than it was then. And so we know from travelers and all kinds of present reports of what exactly it's like to be on that Mount Sinai, which is called Mount Moses, by the way, by many to this day. Its height, somewhere around 7,000 feet, is about 3/4 the height of Mount Baker. Could you imagine hiking up that mountain? Those loose volcanic rocks, you would be unsure of foot. You would be incapable of taking your eye off the path even for a few seconds. you would be climbing a steep, the monks, by the way, today have carved out a set of stairs, something like 3,500 steps to get to the peak. And there's a monastery there called St. Catherine's, and it's still in functioning. Life on that mountain today is not easy, and for a multitude of people under the leadership of Moses was certainly not easy. And to add to that, that amongst every rock was the danger of snakes and scorpions. I want to read to you a little report by a man called David Green, The Sinai Peninsula, Snakes and Scorpions. Scorpions have eight legs and therefore belong to the spider family. In the daytime, they hide under stones and logs or in holes that they dig in the sand, but come out to feed at night. Some scorpion species are very dangerous, and in certain parts of the world, they kill more people than the snakes do. However, those in Sinai and the Holy Land only occasionally cause death, but they do have an extremely strong sting. So I don't think any of us would enjoy that hike, or that it would bring ease of body. And if you were to dare to camp for the night, the scorpions would be out, and the snakes may be out. Now, there are a couple of Bible texts in the Old Testament that give us the biblical record of the conditions that these Israelites contended with during this period in Mount Sinai in the wilderness. One of them is Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 15. Now, I'm taking time here to build the picture of what this was like. It's important for us to grasp what life was like amongst the rocks in Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness? Now, that's God's description. God described it as a great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end? So you can see that the wilderness was school. It was the school of hard knocks. It was the school of discipline. It was the school of learning to depend on the Lord for everything, for food, for water, for protection by day and by night. And so it was an inhospitable place, to say the least. Another reference is the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 2 and verse 6. Isaiah and chapter 30. That walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Here is absolute shock that anyone would want to go that route again. And down in verse 6, it talks about the burden of the beasts of the south in the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, and fiery flying serpent. Notice that, the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. Then go back to Numbers 21 and to verse 6. Here we have in this account, the account of the people bitten by snakes. It says here in Numbers 21 verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So life in the wilderness was fraught with danger, with death constantly lurking in the rocks. And the survival of over a million people for 40 years was an hour by hour, day by day, constant miracle of God's protection. And these people were totally dependent upon the help and the protection of the Lord. And yet, we read in Numbers 21 verse 4 that the people became discouraged because of the way. It was not easy. It was not nice. It was not enjoyable. It's not something that you would ever recommend to your friend. This is a wonderful trip for you to make. Everything's laid on. This was hard, and hard on the flesh, hard on human nature. And so in the midst of this, a rebellion burst forth. You read of this in Numbers 21 verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. And there was now this lamenting, murmuring spirit against God. The people had it. They murmured and they grumbled against Moses and against God. Now, these were the people that had lived under Pharaoh in Egypt. They had known the tyranny of the whip. They had known the abomination of slavery, to be treated as the untouchables, the disposable people. These were the hated people who had been under Pharaoh and are marvelously delivered. But they're in this wilderness. And during their rebellion, God took away the protection. And out from under those rocks, which God had put these creatures to sleep somehow, the fiery serpents flew at the people. And they were bitten. And the poison of their bites raged a fever within their bodies, and they just dropped dead on sight. And up went the cry, Moses, pray for us, pray for us. We have sinned against the Lord and against thee. And of course, Moses was their mediator. He was the one that interceded between the people and God. And rightly, they cried to Moses, Moses, pray, we're dying. These fiery serpents were out here exposed. We have no protection. God must help us. And so they cry to Moses, and we read in verse 8 and 9 that the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. It was a strange arrangement. And so Moses obeyed, and whatever time it took to get that brass symbol fixed on the pole. And by the way, this is the medical symbol to this day around the world. A pole with a snake wrapped around it. And that's what Moses made in that wilderness, and he held it up. And those people who looked, they fixed their eyes upon that pole, that serpent on the pole, they lived. And there the account ends. Doesn't say how, doesn't say by what forces. It just says they lived. It was a miracle. And their bites and poison dissipated, and the people continued to survive in the wilderness by the power and protection of God. What a story. And that story became history. And it became recorded here in the Old Testament scriptures. And it was handed down to the Jewish people from generation to generation. And Nicodemus, whenever he came and was interviewed by the Lord Jesus, he had this history in his mind. And when the Lord used this text and he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that ran like a video in the mind of Nicodemus. He understood the context. He understood the story. And he understood now the analogy that the Lord was making. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so to Nicodemus, this had wonderful context. It had great significance. And now he was bidden to comprehend and understand the gospel. The gospel of saving faith, not now in a brass serpent, but in the body of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lifted up on a Roman gibbet, on a cross, and that by looking to that dying form upon the cross, there is salvation, redemption for the souls of men and women dying due to Satan's poison or sin. And this becomes the gospel. And today the gospel message is that we cause sinners who are fearful of dying in their sin to look to the cross of Christ and be saved. It's the simplest, most beautiful, and the most wonderful story in all of the world. Talk about good news. It is the great good news of the gospel. And the next little while, I want to speak to you about the purpose, the power, and the personal application of the cross. We're thinking here of the design of the cross and the architect behind it. Nothing comes from nothing, and everything has a designer. And that death of our Lord Jesus on the cross was not just the mishap of Roman soldiers or Herod in a bad mood, motivated by angry Jews who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." There is a design and a purpose way beyond the cries of men. And so there is the saving purpose in the design of the cross, to save men from sin and eternal death. The wages of sin is death, and the Lord Jesus went to that cross to pay the price of sin. And God would deliver his people from the curse of their sins and bring them to glory by faith, trusting in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus upon that very tree. And so there was a definite design and purpose. There was also mercy to the design of the cross. The Israelites, back in this story in Numbers, they brought God's wrath upon them. And God released those fiery serpents lurking around them, and they flew at the people, and God exposed them to his wrath. But when Moses was told to make a pole and put a brass serpent upon it, and the people looked, that was mercy. That was the way that they would be delivered from that anger of God, and that they would be healed by looking to that pole and that snake. And of course, all they had to do was look. It was all that weak, dying men and women could do. And you're looking to the cross as a sinner. It's all that you can do. Because nothing that you bring, nothing that you might try to pay, nothing that you can offer to God will ever turn away his wrath. It took an infinite payment. It took more than man could ever offer. And so God designed the cross to deal with your soul in mercy. It was undeserving mercy. And it was God's love flowing in streams of mercy through the death of our Lord Jesus. Think of the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the face of God, He to save my soul from danger interposed His precious blood." And that's the gospel message. And that's the plea that we make with you today, to fix your eyes upon the precious blood of Jesus as it flowed from the cross.
Thank you for listening in to the message of the gospel here today on Let the Bible Speak, which comes to you from our Free Presbyterian Church. And our prayer is that this will be a word of life to call souls to the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus. We are adamant that we must preach the cross. We must point sinners to a crucified Savior, that by faith in His death, they will be born again and brought to new life in the power of the gospel. Would you pray for this and join with us to encourage us as we seek to do this work of proclaiming the gospel week by week here on these radio broadcasts? We have these messages going out here in the Greater Vancouver area, reaches into Vancouver Island, Northwest Washington, and into the Fraser Valley. We also preach this word in Liberia at our mission station. They have a radio antenna there that beams the gospel out across the city of Monrovia. Please pray for that. And then also in the Maritimes, day by day on a number of stations, Prince Edward Island, Halifax, Moncton, and various locations, the gospel is going forth. Thank you for participating with us. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I count it a joy to bring the message of God's Word to you today, wherever you may be. Here at Let the Bible Speak, we bring the messages of our pulpit from the Bible, expounding each page and each message that sinners might know the Lord. Want to let you know about a special meeting here at our church on Friday. It is by the Creation Science Movement, and the speaker is David Rives. The Bible Knows Best, Hidden Gems of Astoundingly Good Science and Good Advice in the Scriptures. So, come along on Friday evening here to our Free Presbyterian Church, 7 p.m., for this message by the Creation Science Association here in BC. We look forward to having you as a part of this special meeting, and it will be informative. There will be books and resources available. Bring your family, bring your friends. We look forward to meeting you there. That's this Friday here at our Free Presbyterian Church, 18790 58 Avenue, or the church address is 188 Street and 58 Avenue, 18790 58 Avenue. That's on the corner of 188 Street, 58 Avenue, just two blocks north of number 10 Highway. For all this information, you can go to our website. That's www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And there you'll get all the information about that special meeting, about the location of our church, a map, and the details. So please look it up. We look forward to having you this coming Friday, and of course any Sunday, 10:30 and 6 p.m., as here at our church we preach the Word of God week by week. Thank you for joining us here today in the program.